So we're gonna read a couple of psukim from Truma, and we're gonna compare something that we read in Truma to something we read in Yisrael, and we'll try to see what the similarities, differences are, and say are they talking about the same thing? We're talking about the Mizbeach. So Parshas Truma, right, these are always the most exciting parshas, you know, when you're in school, like Truma Tetzava, like these are the most exciting parts. So let's try to find some meaning in them. So at the end of Truma, it says, V'yasisa es ha-mizbeach atzei shitim. You make the mizbeach out of wood, acacia wood, I guess. Chamesh amos orav, chamesh amos rochav. So that's the dimensions. Okay. Revuyah mizbeach shosh amos kumos. So it's 5 by 5 by 3 amos. V'yasisa karnosa. So it's made of wood. V'yasisa karnosav al arva pinosav mina tiana karnosav. So there are these corners. V'tzipiso so nechoshes. And you cover it. What's nechoshes? Copper. Okay. So you have, this is what's called the Mizbech HaNechoshes. Do you know where this was? Yeah, are you familiar with, like,
right?
What?
It's in the Yazar, right?
So this is, right. So it was like, it was, right, there were two Mizbechs, right? Two Mizbechos. So what was the other one? You familiar with, like,
Mizbech
this? Right. So they had the golden altar, and that was in the Mishkan itself, right? And what'd you do with that? What'd you put on that Mizbeach, the golden altar? You know? That's the incense, that's the ketores. Because right? you need to give a perfume, you need to, you know, make the Mishkan smell good. And the Mizbeach and the Choshes is for what? What's the Mizbeach and the Choshes for? What? For all the korbanos, right? Okay, so that was the one in the yard, outside of the yard, outside the Mishkan. And it was made of wood, and it was made, and it was covered with copper. Okay? Now, we go back to the end of Parshas Yisrael. So we have this discussion of the Ten Commandments. And after the Ten Commandments, Torah says, Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, Kosamara B'nai Yisrael, this is what you should tell B'nai Yisrael, Atem Yisem, Kimi Hashem Dibarti Mecha, I spoke to you from the heavens. Lo Sa'asuni Tiel Heichas V'Heizahav, so don't make for me, I don't know, gods of silver or gold. Don't make these statues, it seems, of gold and silver. Mizbeach adama taseli. Make for me a mizbeach of what's adama?
Earth.
Of earth. Okay. How do you make a mizbeach of adama?
You have to take the word out of context. Natural.
What?
I mean, you can take it out of context to mean, like, natural, like, something like roof in the earth.
So it's what kind? What?
Something like roof in the earth.
Something like roof of the earth, okay. Clay? Clay, maybe, okay. So, and then it says, Zvato alav, esalosech v'shalomecha v'tzorecha v'tzorecha. And there you're going to, you want a mizbeach, make a mizbeach, and there you're going to offer your olos, your shlamim, tzoncha, b'korcha, your animals, b'chol makom asher askir eshemi avoylech v'raticha. And any place that I want, I'll mention my name, right? I will come to you and I'll bless you. So where is this Mizbeach? Maybe anywhere it seems, I don't know. And then it says, but Mizbeach avanim taseli, if you make a Mizbeach of stones, lo tivne eshen gaziz, ki charecha inafta alev chalav. Don't make it, don't cut, don't use a sword.
Whole stone.
And then it says, lo seleb b'malos al Mizbechi, and don't make steps. I'm sorry, right? Don't make steps. So because I don't know, I guess they didn't wear like underwear, I guess, so it would uncover their private area. They have a ramp. So it seems the ramps. Okay. So my question is, are these the same? Like, what is this? What's he referring to here in the Yisro? Is that referring to the Mizbeach Nechoshes? Is it not? Is it something different?
Reads as if it's bamos, you know, just super personal mizbeach.
Right, so maybe this is like a backyard mizbeach, right? So it's a personal backyard mizbeach. Is there any way to reckon to say that it's the same kind? They seem very different, right? You should know that. So some of the mafarshim I'm trying to think about. Like, I mean, this seems like at the end of Yisrael, you can build these mizbeach anytime, anywhere. Maybe I don't know. There's a restriction. So the Rashi says, well, you know what Mizbech Adama means? Mechubar Adama. It's joined to the ground. Shalim Ne'al Gabi Amodim Al Bekipim. It's not on top of a pillar. Or maybe it's Memaleet Chalal Mizbach hanachoshes adama bishas chaniyasam. You should fill the space of the mizbech hanachoshes with dirt. So in other words, the mizbech hanachoshes, there was wood, but maybe the inside, the cavity, was clay or dirt. Meaning, what's Rashi trying to do?
Reconcile.
He's trying to reconcile. He wants to say that this mizbech, basically, at the end of the Ten Commandments, you just witness this unbelievable experience at Har Sinai. We want to draw close to Hashem. Hashem's like, no, there's a method here, okay? And I'm going to tell you about it in Parshas Truma, but he gives you some reference here. Rashi says it's the same mizbeach. It has to be either connected to the ground or it is filled with dirt. The Ibn Ezra, when else did the Bnei Israel build a mizbeach, by the way? Any other times in the desert when they built the Mizbeach, other than the Mishkan? Yeah. So look at Ibn Ezra. He says, no, Mizbeach Adama, kimashmo, right? Asui me Adama. So this Mizbeach is made from the ground. It's real dirt. Vizel shekasav sham, vayiven Mizbeach tachasahar. And he built the Mizbeach under the mountain. When did that take place? In Shmos Chav Dalet. When did that take place? Right? It's between Yisro and Truma. Anyone know? What, they built the Mizbeach. What's Tachazahar? Under the mountain. When was this?
For the Engel time?
Oh, this is before. We're before, right? This is Engel's a little bit after. When did they build the Mizbeach? Under the mountain. Which mountain are we talking about?
Harsina.
Okay. That wasn't a trick question, Joe. What's your question?
You never know.
Okay, never know. Because of Akkad. Now, at Har Sinai, they offered sacrifices. Because of Bekad, Vizvata Allah, Allah is Allah, Shlobecha. And Hashem said, you're going to offer your sacrifices. Visham Kasuv, Vayalolos, Vizbuchus, Vachim Shlamim. And it says in Parshas Mishpatim, when they're at Har Sinai, that they offered sacrifices. Vein Safek, there's no Dakizos, Parshas Mizbech Adama, Gamos is Soiti. So he says that this is referring to this Mizbech Adama, and this is referring to what happened at Har Sinai. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. Now, the Rashbam is dealing with the following question. Why do you think Hashem only wants to build the Mizbeach Adama? Like what? When Hashem says at the end of the Ten Commandments, only build the Mizbeach of dirt, and if you built it of stone, it has to be whole, you can't carve things on it. Why does it have to be dirt? Why does it have to be... Like why can't you build a mizbeach with gold, or silver, copper?
It's pure unadulterated, natural formation, I guess. From the
Kosh
that he created.
It needs to be dirt. Okay,
but make idols out of the other stuff.
Yeah. What way? What way?
Well, also they're fancier.
They're fancy, right? So there's a good. Okay. So in other words, maybe they're fancier. And why do you think? And how would you make an idol out of them? That you can't make it out of Mizbech
Adama. So you'd say this is a vessel for true paganism.
Okay.
This is a vessel that you
bring. Okay, so you have, and how else, like, if it's a certain type of god, how else might you, like, think about it. Let's say it's the god of, I don't know, the god of war. What about Mizbech, the god of war? So what would you do on this Mizbech?
A human sacrifice.
What? Oh, you know, but how would you just take a golden altar? Maybe, what do you think? What do you think people did with to demonstrate that something is an idol? What would they do with something? Not just take a bar of gold. What would they do? Probably. They'd make, I'm not saying it right. They make pictures maybe, no? Like, they make designs, you know? So even the Rashbam basically says, Lefi she'umos osim asherim al mizbechos. They make trees, right? They have an Asherah tree. So they make a picture of the Asherah, right? And he says, that's why it says, the Pasuk says, in the second line, don't make an Asherah tree by any, near the Mizbeach. Therefore, Hashem says, if you make a Mizbeach, only make it from Adama. Because you know what you can't do on dirt? What you can't do?
You can't carve anything permanent.
You can't carve anything, right? It says, the only thing you can smooth it down. And then if you want to get of stones, what do you do? Don't carve anything out of it. So the goal, the Rashbam is saying, we don't want it to make, if you make a Mizbeach, we're nervous about making idolatrous. But again, the Rashbam's not clear which Mizbeach we're talking about. Are we talking about the Mizbech Nechoshes? Are we talking about the Mizbech at Har Sinai, or maybe your own personal Mizbech, right? So another interesting question, which is, where at the end of Yisrael, where he says, B'chol makom asher askir et shemi, any place where I mention my name, I will come to you and bless you. In other words, build a Mizbech, and basically, any place, I'll come. You know, Mizbech is the way to connect to God. Rashi says, B'chol ha-makom asher askir shemi. Rashi says, Asher etein lecha rishus, laskir shem afar shali. Any place that I give you permission to mention my name, Shom avoy lecha varticha. I will come to you and I will bless you. Asher shechinasi alecha. I will cause my shechina to dwell on you. Mikan atalameh, from here you can learn, Shel nitan rishus laskir shem afarash. You could only say God's name where the Shechina is there. Where is that? Where's the Shechina? Beis HaBechira, in the Mikdash. Again, that's Rashi. Rashi is saying that this Mizbeach is referred to Mizbeach HaNechoshes, right? However, the Chizkuni says, no, maybe not. The Chizkuni says, B'chol makom, lefi shesharsa Shechina b'kama makomos. Gilgal, Nov, Givon, Shiloh, Yerushalayim. What are these places? What's Gilgal, Nov, Givon, Shiloh, Yerushalayim? What are those places? Anyone know what any of these places are? You know Gilgal? What's coming out of all these places? Gilgal, Nov, Givon, Shiloh, Yerushalayim? A little history here. Right, the Mishka, right? So the Mishka was in, where's Gilgal? Where's Gilgal? That's the first place when the Jewish people crossed over the Jordan River. The first place they were, Gilgal. It's temporary. Till they set up camp, they settled the land 14 years, it's in Shiloh. It's there for like many, many years. And then after Shiloh, it was in Nov, Givon, right? And then Yerushalayim. So the Chizkuni says, referring to any Mizbeach of the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. However, to Aaron's point, the Ramban says, Mizbeach Adama Tasali, he says, Perish Ibn Ezra, Ki amar lo tasuni iti elahei chesef elahei zahav lekabel koach el yonim b'tzuratam liyot emtzim b'nei b'neichem. Don't make these silver gods as a intimate between me and you. Ki b'chol makom asher askir shmi avoy lecha ani b'chvil yivrachticha. He says, I'll come to you anywhere you want. Ein lecha tzorech lemtzi klal. You don't need some intermediary. I'll come to you wherever you want. And maybe then the mizbeach could be wherever you want. And that's really the question here. In other words, what is this Mizbeach that we're talking about? Is it the Mizbeach Nechoshes or is it something different? Now, the truth is, if you look in Vayikra Yud Zayin, there it tells you that you're not allowed to slaughter an ox or a goat, right, outside the Machana. Or, I'm sorry, anyone who shechs it, you know, outside the Machana and he doesn't bring it to the Ol Moed, to the Mishkan, it's a big problem. And Devarim Yud Bey says that you can only bring your karbanos to the place where Hashem chooses. But, so you mentioned that you people had backyard mizbeachs. When were they allowed to do that? Were they ever allowed to do that, or was this like a human concession?
It was an actual tzakana against it, but I don't know.
Right, now, right. If you follow, you know, when you go through the Jewish kings, the Malchi Yehuda, so like, the good kings, there are many good kings, the Malchi Yehuda. The Malchi Yisrael weren't so great, right? The southern kings, they were generally pretty good. And they're like, yeah, this one was really good. He got rid of Avodah Zarah. This one was really good. Most of them did not get rid of the breakaway minyan. You know, like the Mizbeach. I mean, that's your personal, the bumos, right? That's your personal thing. Like, most of them cannot get rid of the breakaway. It's very hard, as you know. Like, right? So there were a few that were able to, but most of them were not. So the question, sometimes the Bama was not permitted. Do you know when it was, when it wasn't? Like, was it ever permitted? Because maybe it was permitted, and maybe that's what Yisro is talking about. See, if you look here, the Mishnah in Zvachim sort of goes through a little bit of history here. So let's see. You go through the history here. It says in Zvachim Yadalat, Mishnah Dalat, Ad shelo hukam ha-mishkan, hayu ha-bamos mutaros. So before the Mishkan is built, very short period of time, right? Very short, So the Jews could build their own backyard Mizbeach. And who did the Avoda? The firstborns. Mishuhukam Mishkan. Nesru habamos vavoda b'kohanim. No more bamos. And who does the Avoda? The Kohanim. Then they go to Gilgal. And what happened? Who drew up bummels? The bummels are permitted. Why do you think the bummels are permitted? Why do you think the bummels are permitted? In other words, why when they enter their tzar are they allowed to have the bummels? Right? So he says, if you look in the Bar Tanura, skip the Bar Tanura for a bit. Says the Rachmana, Amar the Torah said, "Asher yishchat b'machaneh." If you shecht in the camp, vel pesach o moed lo aviyu, and you don't bring into the Mishkan, prat la Gilgal shloi yisham machaneh. There was no camp in Gilgal. Why? Shekvar badu machanos v'itchilu liot nefutzim mechal aretz. They weren't a camp. When the Jewish people were marching in the desert, they were a fixed camp. And when there's a fixed camp, there's a center, there's organization. You got to do it in the Mishkan. What happened the first 14 years to come to Eretz Yisrael? They're all scattering and they're trying to settle the land. There's no structure, there's no organization, and because of that, there's no spiritual center. So they had a Mishkan in Gilgal, but there was no it was like Hefkerveld. It was like, the Jewish people weren't settled yet. Only after 14 years, so the first 14 years, it was in Gilgal, and they weren't like a machana, they weren't organized. And because they weren't organized, you know what? I can have my breakaway minyan, and then I can bring my own. Then I can build my own mizbeach, and I can offer my sacrifice. Okay. Then what happens? They come to Shiloh. Okay. Yeah, we'll see how long each thing was. The rabbis said how long he's doing. Shiloh is a long time. Then bummels are forbidden. Why was it forbidden? Because. The Torah, now we're going to Devarim Yud Beis. The Bar Tanura quotes Devarim Yud Beis. See, kilobas ba'ad ata el ha-menucha. Miklal jikshevo el ha-menucha. Once they get to a sense of rest and structure and permanence, Shiloh, there's organization, there's structure. They settle the land, then bamos are forbidden. U'menucha zo Shiloh. How's menucha? Shiloh? Shai zesha menucha. Shiloh yonosi makam l'makam k'mo b'midbar. They're not traveling from one place to another place. They're settled. Every tribe is in its place. And then now we have a center. We have political, we have organization, and we have the center in Shiloh. Backyard bummos are forbidden. Right? Then, bo le Shiloh. They come to Shiloh. Right, so then it's forbidden, sorry. And then he says, bo le Nov ule Givon. Then the Mishkan goes to Nov and Givon, because Shiloh at some point it was destroyed. The Mishkan was destroyed. The Aron was taken away. And then they have the Mishkan in Nov and Givon. And then what happens? Bummos are permitted again. Why is it permitted? So Bar Tanura says, "Kishacharva Shiloh, l'sof shlosh meos v'shivim chaser achas." So Shiloh was very long; it was 369 years. Mishka was there, and the Aaron was taken in the days of Eli. Right? You familiar with Eli? Eli was the leader before Shmuel. Right? You had Eli was a leader. He had these two children, Chafni. No, I think it was Chafni and Pinchas. He had these two children who weren't great, and he didn't discipline them. And basically, the Mishkan is destroyed in his days. And when he is the leader, there's a young woman who finally gives birth. Her name is Chana. She gives birth to Shmuel, and she basically says, "I dedicate him to lead, to the Mishkan." And he has this awful prophecy about how the Mishkan is going to be destroyed. And it turns out it was destroyed, and he becomes the Navi. And so again, so then what happens? The Aron was taken in the days of Eli. And then where the Mishkan now go to? Nov. Nov was destroyed in the days of Shaul, said the Bar Tanura. And then they come to Givon. The days of Nov and Givon were 57 years, the Bar Tanura says. And during all this time, again, bummels are permitted. Why? Because there was no structure. There was no structure. It says it's forbidden when you come to the menucha or the nachla. Menucha, sense of rest. That's Shiloh, 369 years. Nachla is Yerushalayim, right? So between that, that's when you can bring your own personal bummels. If you look in, and then finally, once Yerushalayim is built, then bummels are forever forbidden. If you look in the Rambam goes through the history here. The Rambam says, Kevan shenichnasu laaretz. Once the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael, Hamidu Hamishkan beGilgal Arba Esrei Shana Shekavshu v'Shachalku. Right, 7 years they conquered the land. 7 years they divided the land. Right, when they entered Eretz Yisrael, Umisham Bo LeShiloh. After that, they come to Shiloh. Ubaru Sham Bayis Shel Avanim. They build a house of stones. I guess a structure of stones, And Uperishu, I can probably referring to the Mishkan. Uperishu, Yurios, HaMishkan Alav. Or maybe, no, maybe the house of stones. It's a house of stones, the structure. And they put, I guess, what's Yurios, HaMishkan? They put curtains over it. Veloyos Sham Tikra, there wasn't a fixed roof. Vishin Samach Tes Shana, Amon Mishkan Shilo. It stands for 369 years. Ukshemes Eli Chorav. And after the death of Eli, it was destroyed. Ubal Lenov, Ubal Usham Mikdash. They come to Nov, they build a Mikdash. Ukshemes Shmuel. And when Shmuel dies, Chorav, it was destroyed. Nov was destroyed. Ubal LeGivon. And then they come to Givon. Ubal Usham Mikdash, they build the base of Mikdash. They build a Mikdash in Givon. Umi Givon, Baal LeBase Olam. And after they come to Yerushalayim, Vimei Nov, VeGivon. 57 years. And then when it says, once the Mikdash in Yerushalayim, then every place is forbidden except for Yerushalayim. Okay? So basically, we have at least, I think, we have four theories as to what? We have the Mizbeach Nechoshes, right, which is in this week's Parsha. And that clearly was in the yard of the Mishkan, right, outside the Mishkan, right? The back of the yard where they offer sacrifices. And then we have this Mizbeach, which you could build, right, at the end of Yisro. Rashi is the same thing, right? Rashi is the same thing. We have the Ibn Ezra says it was the Mizbeach at Har Sinai. The Chizkuni is referring to all the Mizbechos, right, in all the different Oh, I guess it's the same thing as Rashi, really. It's referring to, right, Gilgal, every place where the Mishkan was. So it's either, again, one possibility is referring to that Mizbeach Nechoshes. It's maybe referring to the Mizbeach at Har Sinai, or maybe it's referring to your backyard Mizbeach. So if it's referring to backyard Mizbeach, what's the difference? What does it look like? Like, when you think about, like if you can build your backyard Mizbeach and it looks like one thing, and then you build the Mizbeach Nechoshes, look like something else. What do you think the difference in the way the Mizbeach looks in the Mishkan and your backyard Mizbeach, if that's what this is at the end of Yisro? What's the difference? Like what image is one create?
In the Mishkan it's a ceremonial,
right,
you know, proper Mizbeach.
Right.
In your backyard, it's more like the Mizbeach Avram, where you gather stones and.
Right. It's almost like, and you're not even allowed, if you're a wealthy guy, you're not even allowed to make it fancy. Right. In other words, the point is, if it's the Mizbeach Nechoshes, so it's copper, right? Atzei Shittim, good quality wood, right? Right, from where is it up north? Where in Israel did everything come from? What's that place up north where everyone gets all the wood and stuff from? Oh my gosh. No! There's a place up north in Israel that everyone gets all their, they make all their wood products from. I forget that. Okay, so that was senior moment. Yeah. So anyway, so like they have like fancy Atzei Shittim wood. They got the copper. And here, you know what you're saying? Mud, you know, clay. And if need be, okay, make a stone, but you can't make it nice. You know, if it's a deformed stone, you can't carve it up anything. You gotta make it, so it's very primitive. Why do you think that is? Like why would that be?
To make a distinction.
Right, just for what? So in what way is a distinction? Like,
I mean, it should be nicer at the Mishkan.
Right, in other words...
Well, it's Kahal versus Yifrit. I mean,
right, you know, right. So for that,
your personal thing it has to be about the carbon, about what you're doing, and there's something to be said about doing something for the Kahal ceremoniously.
Right. In other words, there's always a general question, you know, like, does Judaism believe in pomp and circumstance? So what do you think about that?
On the communal level.
Right. On the communal level, like, at the end of the day, if something doesn't look fancy, then unfortunately the reality is that people tend to disregard it. That's the reality. We would like to say that you should serve things equally, but if something looks like chashuv, then people will take it more seriously. If something does not look as chashuv, people won't take it as seriously. So, right, so Truma, as I think you're right, this week's parsha, the goal is v'shachanti b'socham. It's all about God. God's setting the rules. So God's telling you what to do. So we have an elaborate structure. It's a dwelling place for the Shekhinah. And when it's made according to the divine details, God's coming down. His Shekhinah's coming down. Right? Yisro is really about, motivated by a spontaneous urge to worship Hashem. I have a strong desire to connect to God, to thank Hashem, to make a request. And maybe it could be done anytime, any place, anytime you want. It could be, and it could, it's some, and obviously we know in some ways it's actually, might be something that's more valuable, right? Because it's more authentic, right? There's always like the challenge about the formal rigid structure versus there's something very real, something authentic about, you know, I'm doing my thing of the goodness of my heart. And it doesn't stem from a requirement. Once you're required to do something, then, you know, you're not so excited about it. Right? However, what's the danger? Danger is that the more expensive, you know, something you can say, I want to give more, you know, maybe the more expensive I give stuff to God, the more God will be pleased with me, and I can lead to gaiva. Look, I'm spending all this money on this mizbeach. And maybe the mizbeach adama is telling you, and there are no kohanim here, no, you can't get any kohanim here. There are no priestly garments. There's no, you know, the rule about no steps. I mean, they end up not having steps on the Mizbech Nechoshes. But the rule, because like the kohanim wear mechnasayim, they wear underwear. I'm just saying that, so there's no technical requirement about that, at least in the court, they're still pretty good at the text. But there are no kohanim, there are no procedures. It's just like ad hoc. And maybe the point is that it should be built. Again, we're nervous about you building an elaborate mizbeach. Because you know some of the house minyanim are really fancy. They've, especially, you know, with the fancy kiddush and the fancy this, fancy that. And you can get some of these private modes of worship. You know, you see, it's like the fanciest thing. The most, they have 8 types of meat at their kiddushim and this. That. What I'm saying is, again, it's all... Where is this going? Not our community, you know? But some communities, they'll have the fanciest things. Again, it's for God, but then it takes a life on its own. So it's very important that when we do something spontaneous, there is an emphasis on humility. There's an emphasis of not letting it get to your head. Again, even if you're doing it for God, but then it can get to your head. And we see that a lot, you know, like... We see that, like it's very, when truma, if it's communal, if it's fixed, if it's formal, if it's rigid, so then pomp and circumstance to get people, you know, to get them inspired by the glory. But if it's private, you have to be very concerned about the, you know, humility that must accompany the service. And I think, again, Parshas Yisro stems from the worship of Hashem that stems from human desires. Parshas Truma stems from obligatory worship by virtue of Hashem's glory. And right, you know, there's obligatory sacrifice can be made on a copper mizbeach, and burnt offerings made voluntarily, that's on mizbeach adama. And I think, and just in general, again, we think about our own lives, right? If we're going with this theory here, then really the mizbeach of Yisro and the Mizbeach of Truma reflect 2 different types of worship. The Mizbeach Adama is spontaneous. It's personal. But let's say we're going through something in our lives and like we just, something's, you know, middle of the day, someone's going through our lives. We turn to God, we cry out. We want to have a moment to connect with Hashem. So we got to make sure that we have a sense of humility. Okay, we got to make sure that we don't think we're so, it's a proper sense of humility. The Mizbeach HaNechoshes is structured, communal. It doesn't always have that kind of feeling that we want. But maybe the point is that when we go to the structured minyan, going to the shul, the goal there, you know, as opposed to the Mizbeach HaDama, in the middle of the day you cry out to God, that's very authentic, very heartfelt, and really pour out your heart. But when we come to shul, when we come to a base Knesset, we're part of a minyan, the key there is being, even though we're not going to feel it as much, try to feel we're part of something greater, something bigger, something more glorified. That when we're with 10 people, let's say, you know, then Shem Shechina is greater when there are 10 people as opposed to one. There's this heartfelt peace, but there's also this peace that even if we're not feeling it, to recognize the power of the tzibur, the power of divinely commanded ritual, to be part of God's army, to doing something that we've been doing for thousands of years. There's power to that. So we try to tap into the personal connection and also tap into the connection of the glory of God, that generation after generation, to feel that connection, to feel we're part of something greater. And we're trying to find both of those balances, that balance of both of these values within our worship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.